Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already the 13th and 14th of June, depending on when you're listening to this. We, of course, air Saturdays at 9:05 and Sundays at 7:05. And it's, if you're listening to it on Sunday, of course, it's Flag Day. It's been an interesting June. We've had some warm weather. We've had some cooler weather. We've had some rain. I think finally my lawn is looking a little green. Just, again, for my running friends, just want to give you a shout-out and thank you for participating in the Over the River and Through the Woods race, which was held on Saturday, June 6th. And, of course, that's one of the several races that comprise the Capital Era Race Series, where Northeast Delta Dental is the preeminent sponsor, but we have many other partners in it, such as Runner's Alley. So we had a great turnout. Great field. It's a great combination of elite runners such as Scott Clark and also recreational runners such as myself and hordes of other runners all across New Hampshire, and a great turnout also for my Delta Dental colleagues. On the Affordable Care Act front, it's going well from an oral health perspective. Many thousands of people are purchasing individual dental insurance from the public exchange, healthcare.gov, or our private exchange, deltadentalcoversme.com, which is why when I get asked, well, why do you do things like Northeast Delta Dental Stadium, and why do you get so heavily involved with running road races? Well, there's really two reasons. I'm into wellness. I like to run. I think it's great to be a community partner, but also it's an opportunity to get the retail message on the importance of oral health out there, because many of the people that buy tickets to the Fisher Cats don't have dental coverage through their employer, so we can get the oral health message to them. And also, I know many of my running friends, their employees don't necessarily have dental insurance, so it's been a great opportunity to get the retail message out there. So it's hard to believe as well that in 1 week from today, it will be the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race, and again, that's one of the signature racers that that we sponsor. And with me this particular weekend is my good friend Howie Weems from the Auto Road. And Howie, thank you for driving down to Concord and joining me this weekend. I'm sure you have better things to do, such as planning the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race.
Well, thanks for having me down again, Tom. It's a pleasure to come down here to the southern part of the state, which I so infrequently get to, and talk about one of my favorite races.
Perfect. So let's take a step back and talk about the Auto Road, the family history. I know that you were featured in a very great article, great photo as well, in Business New Hampshire magazine. So people may not realize how the Auto Road, you know, that you guys own it, and the whole process before we get into the road race.
Yeah, if I start to ramble on too much, because I love talking about that particular subject, you can feel free to cut me off. But we've been open since 1861. But from our more recent history, the important thing for us is that the fellow that bought it in 1906, Elihu Libby, his descendants still own the Mount Washington Auto Road. So it's a privately owned family operation, 109 years now. It's quite amazing in this day of mergers and acquisitions that the company has been able to successfully steward that business along, and of course now surrounded by the a national forest, and the Mount Washington State Park, of course, owns the summit of the mountain now. So it's really quite a fun and challenging opportunity for me to be leading the charge currently. I've been there for 28 years now as general manager, and I started out as a stage driver, a guided tour van driver back in the 70s. So it's been a lot of fun for me personally.
What are the changes that you've seen? I know just in my involvement the last 15 years, you know, it seems like the some parts of the road are paved now, which weren't before. So what have you seen as the evolution? A lot of it's still the same, of course.
Sure. And that is the from a competitor's standpoint, that probably is the biggest change over the years, is that we're now about 87% paved, the rest of it gravel. So it's almost exactly a mile of hard-packed gravel in the middle of the mountain. So for runners, it makes a little bit of a difference, I think. Our two bicycle races that we have up there, it makes a much, much bigger difference. And, of course, the occasional car race that we hold up there, it's a huge difference. But that's the biggest change. The road alignment has always been the same. We widen it here and there wherever we can grab a few more inches, and always try to make it the best surface we can for all of our guests.
Now, switching specifically to the running road race, this is the 55th edition of the road race, and I guess it really began technically in 1904. There have been some years when it hasn't been held, but tell us a little bit about the history. I know it seems like yesterday we were doing the 50th, to be honest, and here we are five years later.
It does seem like yesterday. In 1904, it was the first kind of informal but timed challenge, and it was a doctor, George Foster, who decided he'd take on that personal challenge. And it was quite a few years after that that a group of his friends actually organized the first race to honor him. And in that first race in 1936, there were 12 competitors. So we've grown quite a bit since then. There was a big break in the earlier years, nothing during the war years, and then in the 60s it was run a couple of times early on, and then from 1966 it's been run annually. And of course it gets bigger to some degree. We are capped really by the amount of parking on the summit and the amount of space available in the buildings up there. So we're at 1,300 that we choose mostly from a lottery, and that we will not be able to change that number without some other logistical changes. So 1,300 seems to be a pretty good cap. And these days we get a little over 2,000 people putting their name in the lottery to get in.
And just obviously this would be for next year. This year's race is coming up in a week. But how does, for people that we've got their interest now, how would the lottery work for the average person maybe has never done it before?
Well, you go online. It's been February 1st, I believe, that we open the lottery, and we keep it open for about a month. It'll be a little less than a month. And you simply go online and sign up. And at the end of that time, I think it's right around March 1st, we do the drawing, and people are notified whether they got in or not. There are other ways to get in. Running clubs that help us out with volunteers on the course get a certain number of lottery bypasses, as we call them. And that's one way some people are able to get in. And, of course, anybody that's performed well in the past or is an elite runner is able to bypass the lottery as well.
Great. And I can tell you it's like a cult when you get there, because you see probably of the 1,300 or so, you know, there's probably 800 or 900 people that you see every year, and we all say, we're never going to do it again when we're halfway through, because as Howie knows, I make the same mistake every year that I do it. Like I maintain a jog until about the halfway point, and I always say to myself, this isn't so bad. Then you reach the halfway point where it's flat for like 2 inches, and then it gets horribly bad, and then it's like, oh my God, here I go. Then that's when I start the walk-run thing, which for me doesn't quite work as effectively, although, of course, Howie knows that most people do have to do the walk-run thing
You're
the real elite runners. We have a few minutes. Why don't you talk about the road itself, the length, the grade? People may not understand that while it's, you know, only, you know, 7.6 miles.
And there's only one hill.
There's only one hill. There's no relief to it, and only a few people have ever done it in less than an hour, which means, you know, an 8-minute pace. So you can well imagine an 8-minute pace on a flat course is very pedestrian. So what's the grade and so forth?
The average grade is actually 11.7%. That's very steep for a public road. That's very steep, and it's narrow. From a road race perspective, that doesn't really mean much, but it is a narrow 2-lane road. It is pretty consistent in its steepness. There is a section that's about 18% down in the woods in the first couple of miles. And then the finish is the real killer, because we still finish up the so-called service road, which is the non-public last couple of hundred yards to the summit. And that's 22%. So if you haven't worked hard enough to get to the parking lots, you've still got that 22% to climb to get to the actual finish line. So it's that's always a psychological killer. But it is funny the way it works, isn't it? That when you're in the process of running up, you're thinking to yourself, never again. And within 10 minutes of crossing the finish line, it's like, you know, I think I could do that better.
Exactly. And that's what gets us all hooked. By the way, that last final 100 yards, it is literally like you're, at that point, literally like climbing a mountain. I know, like when I'm running it, like my hands are on my lap as on my legs. But everybody at that point is cheering. And of course, you can see the finish line. You can see the Northeast Delta Dental banner. So you're very, very happy. And it is pretty amazing, too, that some people seem not to be too affected, and others, and it's not really their degree of fitness. Some people are really affected when they get to the top because of the change of temperature. You're starting, you know, maybe very warm, and then you end up really cold.
It's typically 20 to 30 degree difference between the base and the summit. Last year was, I recall as a spectator last year that it was pretty brutal because it was in the 40s at the base, and it was in the 30s at the summit, and the winds were 20 to 25 miles an hour, and it was pretty chilly. Probably from a runner's perspective, it may not have been that noticeable. The wind wasn't all that bad, although a 20 to 25 is still pretty good. I think that I know you've run it a number of times, Tom, and I've run it 6 times. And although my running days are actually over because of a knee replacement, I think that I may come back in next year and do a fast hike. Because I think I may be able to do my usual running time at a fast hike, and we'll see.
Well, and for me, honestly, it's really become a fast hike. So after commercial break, I wanted to talk about the year that there was a snowstorm and we had to sort of cut the course in half. And then I also want to talk about George, our 90-year-old who had the best line, but I'll do a radio tease and I'll save that one. So after commercial break, we'll return with Howie Weems, Tom Raffio with Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and thank you for joining me this June 13th and 14th, Flag Day. And again, last week I want to thank my running friends for such great participation in the Over the River and Through the Woods race, which was very successful, and it raises money for the SPCA. In the course, Over the River, you are in fact running over 93, and then you get into the Forest Society, so that's the why the handle of that race. Last week we also had Max Poyanik on our show, and Max really is the sort of founding father of urgent care in the southern New Hampshire area, and we've gotten a lot of great feedback on that show in terms of what urgent care is and how it's really much more cost effective than the emergency room. But this weekend, 1 week before the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race, I have with me Howie Weems, who's the general manager of the Auto Road. And those of you that have stickers on your cars that said this car has driven up Mount Washington, that's great. But what we're talking about is actually running up. So, Howie, talk about some of the competitors this year. I know that Joe Gray is returning, and tell us a little bit about Joe and some of the other well-known competitors.
Yeah, we've got another great field shaping up for this year's race. Joe Gray is coming back, and his was such a fun win last year to see him cross the finish line, literally leaping in the air and pumping his fist because he had been trying. I think it might have been his fifth or sixth time back last year. He had come in fourth in his first visit and then third, and then twice at second place. So he had really been, anxious to win this thing. And last year, in spite of that chilly weather, he was able to pull it off in a time of 59.09. So it's just really fun. So he's coming back to defend his last year's win. And he'll be challenged by Eric Blake, the 2013 race winner and also three-time winner. Eric's also being inducted into our Hall of Fame this year. New challenger from Italy, Luca Cognati, I believe you pronounce it. He's not run Mount Washington before, but he was a member of the 2014 Italian mountain running team and finished just between Joe Gray and Eric Blake at the 2014 World Championships. Also, Zach Miller from Colorado is returning after his fourth place finish last year. He's done a lot more mountain and ultra running since last year's race, so we'll see what that's done for his ability on Mount Washington. And they'll be challenged by Colorado's Andy Wacker, Simon Gutierrez, who has a lot of history on Mount Washington, and Peter Maxuau. Also for local folks, Kevin Tilton's always a local favorite, and he's currently training for the Leadville Ultra, and we expect him to be right up there. Other local favorites, Justin and Chris Freeman, are often with us on the road race day, and of course we hear all about them in the wintertime cross-country skiing. And on the winter's side, there's a really large competitive field. That one's going to be tough to guess. Last year's winner, Shannon Payne, who won in her first time here, is not going to be returning because of an injury. But Kim Dobson, who is a two-time winner and took time off to have a baby, is going to be back. Brandi Erholtz from Colorado, two-time winner, is also back. Lori Heifele, who won in 2013 for the first time, is back. And Amber Ferreira from Concord here will be running again.
And everybody knows Amber. We've had Amber on the show. Great triathlete. And one of the things she actually, Howie, you would appreciate this. We're one of her sponsors, Delta Dental. And one of her specific requests was to run in the Mount Washington Road Race. So
that's
hopefully
great.
She'll be great. And is Bo's Denise Sandal doing it this year?
Yes.
Because I know she was fifth last year, and so that's great to have these locals. So it'll be great to see Amber and Denise. And I think one of the things as a recreational runner, all of us, you get to know these elite runners. One of my favorite stories is the first time I got introduced to Jackie Gouraud, who actually is the only woman, I think, only woman who has won both the Boston Marathon and the Mount Washington Road Race. And she was really impressed that I knew that she'd won the Boston Marathon because that was the year that Rosie Ruiz literally jumped on the green line and cut off 10 miles. And so Jackie was very impressed that I remembered that story. And of course, Howie, if you think about how far running has become, because really that wasn't that long ago, like say 1980, but to think that someone could actually jump in on a subway and then not get caught, you know.
And get away with it.
Right, it would be impossible with all the cameras. But anyway, but the point I'm making is, you know, all the elite runners, you know, that Howie has referenced, at the end of the race, they're eating lunch with you just like everybody else.
That is one of the most fun things, right. Is you're toeing the line with these famous, world-famous runners.
Exactly, and then before you're warming up with them, and they have the same self-doubts that we all have, and everybody's trying to find a place to go to the bathroom and everything. It's all the same. And I think you have done a great job of obviously keeping the race state-of-the-art and safe, but also kind of combining the traditions. So, for example, it's intentional that it's not a chip race, right?
Correct.
Yep. So we all line up, and we all line up orderly, and off you go. Really, you know, of course, as Howie mentioned before the break, the very first couple hundred yards, you're going slightly downhill, and that's the only time you'll be going fast. So it really doesn't matter where you start. But
I should clarify that a bit. It's not a chip start, but it is a chip finish.
Finish, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it's a gun start.
So, you know, you mentioned the Hall of Fame ceremony. I just want to mention, and you'll have to go to see this, but it's a very fine-tuned process, you know, that we have a group looking at, records as well as participation. And so there's a committee that looks at it. So we actually have a Mount Washington Hall of Fame website that I encourage you to look at. And the people that have been inducted are obviously renowned people, and you know, people like Dave Dunham and so forth. So it's pretty terrific. And you'd mentioned
we should mention that anyone can submit a name for possible induction into the Hall of Fame. All I have to do is email one of us on the committee, or just maybe it's easiest to remember my email at the mountain or perhaps yours. And so anyone can make a suggestion.
Sure. And my email is my name, tomraffio@nedelta.com. And Howie?
Is howie@mt-washington.com.
Now, Howie mentioned that Joe Gray is returning to defend his victory last year. And he ran a sub 1 hour. There's only been about, you know, 8 or 9 people that have gotten below an hour. So I believe Jonathan Wyatt still holds the record at 56:41.
That's correct. Yeah.
And the others that have gone below an hour: Derek Frood, Matt Carpenter, Daniel Kahara, Joe, of course, Ricky Gates, Sage Cannaday, and Eric Blake, who's referenced. The other great story I like to tell is the year that Shawagi Amari won in 2010. So this was a great African runner, woman, and so about 5 minutes before the start, you know, we hear the announcement, you know, a desperate plea for sneakers or something, because what Shawagi had done was, you partner up with someone who meets you at the top of the mountain, whether it's a van or in a car, and her race shoes went up the mountain, so she didn't have race shoes. So all of us who were involved with the race were trying to figure out what was going on. So she borrowed a pair of shoes, and shoes running up Mount Washington is very important, because you can really do some damage to your feet. So she won. She did it 1 hour and 8 minutes on borrowed shoes. So that I love that story. Now, I also want you to talk about our famous George, who's 95, who will be competing again this year. So tell us about George.
George is a great guy, George Etzweiler. He'll be 95 this summer. He's competed a number of times, and he's just an amazing guy, full of life, and always gets a standing ovation in the tent, because, I mean, here he is in his 90s, still running Mount Washington. And this year, he's coming back. He wasn't with us last summer, and we were hoping that wasn't the end of his appearances. He's coming back this year, and he's bringing his 69-year-old son, Larry, to run with him. So think about that. That's just fabulous.
That's hard to say. I have a 69-year-old son. But George, he's a hot ticket, because a couple years ago we brought him on stage. At the end, obviously, there are awards and so forth. We try to move that right along. But so we brought George up, and I guess at the time he was, you know, 93 or 94 in any event. So he had the place in stitches, because he said, well, I do plan to run it for the next 6 years until I'm 100. And then when I cross the finish line, I plan to drop dead on the spot. So, but he said it in a way which it was very humorous, and it was great. So it would be great to see George, as well as all the elite runners like Joe Gray. And again, those of you, if this is the first time you're going to do it, the psychological part that you have to get over is that indeed at some point you will be walking. I know that's hard. That was hard for me. It does to know that at some point, you know, you're probably going to have to do some, you know, walk running. The other thing I want to mention, and this is another reason why we love to partner with Howie, is that some of the funds for the race, in fact, go to Coos County Family Health Services. They receive a donation, and of course, there's an oral health component to that. And then lastly, Howie, can you mention that we have a gentleman named Ambrose who does the video of the race?
Yeah, he's coming back this year thanks to the help from Northeast Delta Dental, and he puts on a wonderful running show. I don't know that much about it, but I know he did a fabulous job of capturing the spirit of the event last year, with a combination of videographers on the course and then one on the back of a motorcycle. And I think he's going to have a drone or two in the air this year to cover
it. Exactly. And it's all over YouTube. And a lot of my running friends, as a result of that video, that's why they all entered the lottery this year, because he really did capture it. So, Howie, I look forward to seeing you in 1 week. And we'll have you back again to promote this next year. And halfway through, I am going to be cursing you. Why am I doing this? But then I'll be back again.
But looking at you now, Tom, I expect you to set a personal best for yourself next week.
I have not. I have trained well. All right. Howie, we will return with you next year. And Tom Raffi from Northeast Delta Dental will return next week.